Welcome to Friday Night Party Line. I'm your host, Victor Frost, and today for this very interesting episode, I actually have an in-studio guest. I have my friend Amanda Fierro. She's an awesome artist here in the LA area, and she's a good friend of mine. And she's a bit slap happy at the moment.
I'm not.
As per usual, we have the awesome Australian Trevor.
Hey, how you going?
And from New York, we have Nelson Pecora. How's it going, guys?
I am a sandwich master.
Oh yeah, show the sandwich. Really, if you have not yet already, you finished it, didn't you?
The sandwich is in my stomach now, so there you go.
That was a hell of a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very Gouda.
Yeah, so I recommend today's ingredient of the day is a spicy jalapeno-infused Gouda.
No, Nelson, smoke. Do it Iron Chef style.
Today's, is it secret ingredient or special ingredient?
I think it's secret ingredient.
Secret ingredient. Spicy Gouda!
I love that guy so much.
It's decent.
He is such an excited person for the food. And he just does it in the most badass way.
Have you seen the new one? Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't seen the new one.
They have a new one. The Sun did one too.
Oh, really?
He's just as entertaining.
Awesome. Okay, so we have a slew of great topics this month. For to start us off, we're going to talk about the thing that has been dominating the international news for like the past month. That is former NSA contractor, now man at large, Edward Snowden's unveiling of U.S. government's shady business. It has sparked debate on the issue of transparency in government across the world. After all, who's watching the Watchmen? But reasonable points have been made that levels of... Here we go. But reasonable points have been made that the levels of transparency being asked would be detrimental to the intelligence gathering capability of the intelligence gathering operations. This is not, in case you haven't noticed, this is not the same sort of setup I'm used to. So I'm kind of finagling, trying to figure out how to do this right here. So let's just
flailing, but
yeah, flailing is a good word to describe my current movements. So let's discuss this. I mean, what? Obviously.
Sorry.
Yeah. Nelson, you want to help us out here?
So my first point that I would like to make is that Snowden sounds like a Game of Thrones character. Coincidence? I think not.
So you think he's going to be unceremoniously murdered before we figure out what he's going to do with the rest of his life?
Well, apparently he's on his way to Ecuador, care of WikiLeaks people, but I don't think he will be whacked, as my people say, but I think there is a strong, what is it called when the media makes someone not seem like such a good person? The phrase...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a defamation campaign.
Oh, okay. Smear campaign, you mean?
Yeah, and it's partly... Smear campaign, yes, exactly. And it's partly due to him being a geek, and, you know, those people are weird on their computers, and he left Hawaii and his hot girlfriend to do things, that kind of stuff. But, I mean... What's really interesting is, I don't know, I mean, like, Obama's reaction to this is not great.
Yeah, no.
Like, he had the opportunity to come out and be like, hey, this is not super awesome. We should probably, you know, scale this down and try not to do that. But he's going the opposite way into the, oh, but it's really important for our security to spy on everyone. as for general transparency in government, I think that everything should be public knowledge except very specific things, like the locations and identities of active agents.
Yeah, and of course, like military vessels and things like that.
Yeah, but like capabilities, intelligence, all should be public knowledge. Like the whole, the cable gate thing, all of that should have been, one, public, and two, not so mean to small countries. Like, man, our diplomats are kind of assholes.
Well, yeah, you know, politics and crap like that. But you actually brought up how he's on his way to Ecuador. In fact, he's not. No, he's not. Because I was watching the news the other night, and it was the Ecuadorian president actually came out and said, "Yeah, the extradition, his amnesty, what is it, asylum status is not, you know, set in stone. We have to take into consideration certain statuses." He says that
when did you hear about this, though?
A couple nights ago.
As of last night, Assange said he was headed to Ecuador.
Oh, did he? Because as far as I knew, he was still in the transit port at the Moscow airport.
He was never there.
Vladimir Putin was like, yeah, he's here.
Putin will say anything.
Well, Putin was
didn't steal that ring.
Well, you know what?
Putin never lies.
Well, I'd like to think that Putin has like the biggest balls of any current government leader at the moment. And in addition, they were telling the U.S., yeah, no, we're not going to give extradition to this guy, the Putin, anyways. So an Ecuadorian president said that he had to get to an Ecuadorian embassy or get to the country himself before any asylum status would be considered.
Mm-hmm.
So, say you heard it later that he's already on in Ecuador. So I don't know.
I think either he was on the way or he's there. They weren't super revealing about that info.
Clearly,
I mean, ever since he dropped off the radar, apparently he's been hanging out with WikiLeaks people. So they're ferrying him. I like that we have an international organization that will just help any whistleblower. Because, like, I mean, WikiLeaks is great for the actual stuff they leak,
right?
But they're also great as a support organization for other people.
They're like a government independent witness protection program.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sure that a lot of high-level people in a lot of governments are looking at them and being like, this is troubling. This is a troubling development.
Actually, the FBI had a mole within WikiLeaks. An article came out recently saying, which is a bit troubling, but not unexpected.
Surprisingly competent.
Surprisingly competent.
See, I suppose I'm not really bothered about Snowden so much as just the reaction of the American people in general. I mean, yeah, I get it's kind of upsetting to be spied upon, even if it is apparently under legit circumstances. Yeah, it really is, isn't it? So what about the rest of us, then, who aren't Americans? I mean, we've all heard the same... We've heard the same reassuring noises that you guys have about how Obama saying, oh, it's not intended for use on American citizens, and some old general-looking guy who I'm pretty sure is a politician saying, you know, oh, we're not spying on Americans, and people going, oh, this is for American national security.
We're just spying on everyone else.
To protect Americans and their rights.
Yeah, but
I'm not American, so that really fails to give me the warm fucking fuzzies here.
I mean, you take that.
Why
are
you up in arms when it's only affecting American citizens, and you couldn't give a shit when it's not your cocks on the chopping block? I mean, yeah, it's to protect you and your rights. What about ours?
Also, it was revealed fairly recently after the NSA stuff hit that GCHQ, which is part of England's security services, has a lot of the same access that the NSA has and is obviously spying on non-UK citizens.
Clearly.
Yeah, and has intelligence sharing agreements with the United States.
Not only that, but I mean, you pile onto that, the one of the documents that Snowden leaked was information saying that the United States government actually performed cyber attack on, and I love this, China, and gotten into their university networks and their mobile networks, like just spying on people's text messages and phone calls and, you know,
I think I think the best thing said by any commenter or pundit on the NSA issue is John Oliver, hosting The Daily Show now, as John Stewart is mucking about in Iran, like the un-American person he is.
Clearly.
Yeah, John Oliver said that, I believe the exact quote was, "You misunderstand, Mr. President. We're not saying that it's illegal what you're doing. We're just saying it's a little bit weird." Or we're not saying that you did an illegal thing. We're just saying it's a little bit weird that you didn't have to. And that is the perfect.
That is perfect.
Statement on
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of two minds. On one hand, as a citizen of a country that is doing really shitty things, I do not like the access that they have and the secrecy at which they got it. On the other hand, as a technologist, anything that you do on the internet, you should assume is being watched by every other person on the internet. And if you actually want to have secure communications, use encryption.
Yeah. I mean, there are methods to do it. It is not exactly the most, you know, shall we say, consumer-friendly ways of doing it, particularly when it comes to, you know, doing voice conversations from one phone to another. I mean, you could do, like, encrypted, you know, voice over IP using SIP or something, but what are they going to do? They're going to teach that at Best Buy? I mean, come on.
I think they should teach, I don't want to go back to our education episode, but goddamn, teach some fucking computer stuff in school. Goddamn.
Yeah.
They're getting there slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly.
I think
there's a few other things maybe you need to start teaching in school there. Like, for example, there's a few concepts you have in the Constitution Bill of Rights, you know, like free speech, privacy, and presumption of innocence.
Yeah.
You know, fundamental principles for all people.
Yeah.
As opposed to fundamental principles for people only in this one geographic area, which kind of makes them not principles at all because they're not universal. Or am I somehow fucking up and forgetting the part at the end of the Declaration of Independence where it says, "Yes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness."
That's the beginning of the Declaration.
Unless you're from somewhere other than here, in which case you can fuck right off.
I'll give him a break, Nelson. He's Australian. He doesn't even actually have to know this stuff.
Yep.
Well, we don't either.
Yeah, right?
Well, that's kind of sad, though. We should know this.
The Declaration talks a lot about divine providence and pledging our fortunes. Actually, that's really interesting. So the last sentence is, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." I like that they put fortunes in there because it really shows how much they were just like a group of really rich white dudes.
Well, you know what? It also puts in the Constitution the foundations of socialism.
Ooh. I wish. You know what I wish Obama would do?
What'd you wish Obama would do?
I feel
stop
like
being a socialist Muslim.
No, in his heart of hearts, I feel like Obama would. I mean, he says he's pro universal health care. He's pro a bunch of, you know, progressive or even socialist things. If he just straight up, like the last, you know, from here until the end of his term in office,
yeah.
If he just put out you know, fuck Congress. I'm going to executive order all the things that would make America awesome. And they'd half start of them would be torn down by the Supreme Court, of course. But at least put it out there and just, like, executive order as much as possible to accomplish, you know, what he said he would accomplish.
I think if he started doing that, though, they'd just reverse a lot of it when they get the next guy in.
Well, you know what? I mean,
they would have to be challenged.
Well, you know what? I think the first thing that'll happen is that the Republicans in Congress would be like, see, it's another example of the president circumventing the democratic process. Whatever.
Well, fuck them.
Fuck them,
Executive order them to shut up.
But I think I would love to see a president just pull out a, you know, bold move like that. Like, you know what? Do a press conference. So it's my final year in office. I'm happy to do it. I'm pulling out all the stops. Screw you, Congress. Here we go!
I think the fact that
the Republicans still actually talk to fucking anyone in public shows that they have not, in fact, learned from their own mistakes.
No.
Yeah, well, I feel like,
you know, you want to talk about politics. Let's talk about Rick Perry.
No? I have an option.
Let's talk about Rick Perry and this bullshit that's going on. So, if you're not aware, in Texas, wonderful Congressman Wendy what? Good God.
She wants to kill babies.
She wants
unborn.
Goddamn right.
All-celled babies.
Pretty sure that's enshrined in the Constitution.
I think right after actually the guns,
life, liberty, and the pursuit to kill babies.
Hypothetical babies, really, because they're not actually babies
yet. And it's also not a very quick pursuit, because it's not like they're running very fast.
Yeah, this is true.
Okay.
I mean, once you take it out of the mother, it's almost dead anyway, so...
we should get started on this.
But there's historical precedent for a president using the full measure of his powers to get shit done. Look at FDR. Look at all of the executive orders he did in his first 100 days in office that changed the entirety of American politics and American social welfare systems for the better, and how many of them we still have to this day. Like, some of them got, you know, cut down in courts, and some of them are, you know, wildly unpopular with certain kinds of people, but we still have Social Security, we still have welfare, we still have, you know, like, a little bit of healthcare for the poor. I wish we still had workers' programs, because that would be really cool. Just saying. Hey, Obama.
Somehow I doubt President Obama is among our viewing audience. So,
yeah.
Nice as that would
maybe
be.
If we say a bunch of terrorists...
Oh, I'm sure they're watching us.
Anthrax.
Tango, bomb. Unchain the hot petunia.
If you want to send anthrax to FMPL... Send it to... Hold on, where did I put Victor's address?
Where did I put Sherbo's address?
Hey, don't kill me in the process of this. Wait till I leave, and then you can send anthrax to him.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah, anytime.
There's the rub. You don't have my new address. I win.
Oh. You've just been killed.
Well, I have Nelson's. So he did the Secret Santa the last year.
Oh, this is true.
Oh, and it seems like a challenger appears. We have Andrew Kane on the show with us. Andrew, how you doing? Andrew.
That's great, Andrew. Nice to see you.
Ah, there we go. It was muted, huh?
Yes, and here we thought anthrax had got to your mic.
Well, Andrew, of course, for the audience, the audience knows you very well, but you have not yet met Amanda.
Oh, hi, yeah, I'm here.
Amanda is
Amanda. Nice to meet you.
Amanda's a good friend of mine. She's our special in studio guest for the show.
Ooh. Fancy.
Yeah, right.
Not that fancy.
Two like mics. Look at this.
He thinks he's fancy.
Oh, shut up.
It's fancy. It's a fancy setup for me.
Oh, don't worry. It's been that way for years.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right. So let's move along in terms of topics, because I want to make sure that we all get out of here on time. So as if the internet hadn't beaten it to death already, let's talk about E3. So
you didn't get the reaction you wanted, did you?
I was waiting for him to finish that sentence with "and the consoles that came out of it," just like you know. There you go.
As Chirba so assholishly pointed out last episode, I have I basically read right off of the topics list here that I sent out to all the guests. So yeah, let's talk about the consoles that came out of E3 as well as some of the other cool stuff. First of all, which caused probably the biggest brouhaha on the internet. Since the PS3 took away the ability to install Linux. Yeah. Xbox 360 had and now does not have the feature of blocking or paying extra or having any sort of limitations on used games, and then on top of that, it being always on, which I don't understand why having the Kinect always on and listening bothers people.
You have to connect every single day. It's just weird. Why would you have don't. To connect? They'd say that's what you're supposed to do. They're supposed
nothing
to connect every day.
Nothing anymore. You don't
not
have
anymore.
To,
did they change
did
their mind?
Yourself?
Yeah. What?
It was a pretty quick thing that they did there.
Well, yeah, they changed their mind. They stopped. They said that you don't have to connect every day anymore. And you
so they're not just gonna short circuit out your Xbox when you
no,
log
they're not.
On
no,
the next day.
You won't get an instant exploded Xbox.
Right. Yeah. They had it where you had to check in once a day. I think they still have that. Is that true? I think you still have to check in. I think. I know the kind of how they should have approached it is they should have said, "We're making Steam, but for your console." Done. That was it.
Yeah,
like,
then people would have actually checked in every day.
For me, I'd be like, "That's awesome. I love Steam. This is great." But they came at it from like the opposite direction, and we're like, "No."
Well, for me, that would suck. I don't even use my Xbox every day, so.
And we lost Chirba.
Exactly. We lost him and he came back. He's like, we had two of them for a bit. It's kind of
cool. Yeah.
So I guess what it is from my understanding, correct me if I'm incorrect, of course. So the Xbox One, the name doesn't really do it for me, but the idea was that you buy a game. Hooray, I got a game. I go home. I punch in my Xbox and I put the disc in. I install it. And then actually when I'm done, I can take the disc out, put it on my shelf, and keep playing the game. Because it's installed. It is registered to my account like Steam. You have a game that is tied to your Xbox account, and then any system that your game is installed to, that your account is active on, anyone can play it. So that was awesome for families especially. Like, so, you know, if I happen to live with my parents still, I bring home a game, I install it, you know, my brother can play it, my dad can play it, my mom can play it, I can play it, all in different accounts, and that's great.
Right.
And now they took out this DRM, this thing where you have to bind it to your account and that kind of stuff. It's kind of actually almost, so we kind of won, hooray, those are DRM, I guess, but we've actually lost a lot of other features that are, I think would have kind of overcome that.
Okay.
So like there's this whole family sharing plan beyond the local stuff where I guess it was like you get to choose 10 people or whatever that were like your family and you could actually like share digital games or something like that. And, you know, obviously we'd probably all abuse that and be like, all right, these 10 friends of mine are my family, right?
Well, it'd be a great way to split the cost of a game.
Exactly, yeah. Like, it'd be great, too. You know, it's like, hey, I'm going to buy, BioShock Infinite, you know, let's say when it came out, if it happened to be the Xbox One, you know, $50 game or something, you know, we can all split it $5 a pop or something like that. And that would be just tremendously awesome.
Right.
But regardless, that feature's gone now because they turned off this account binding DRM stuff. So that's gone. And then the Kinect 2s is probably an awesome idea. Like, you know, you can basically do all of your Xbox stuff except for playing the actual game by just yelling at your Kinect, which is cool. The problem though is since they made it required, you can turn off most of it, except for you have to have it plugged in, which, I mean, there might be a way to turn that off. I haven't worked on the Xbox One, so I can't say that there's a way to do that. I'm sure someone will, worst case, hack it so that you, like, you know, put a wire in and it thinks it was a Kinect.
A little dongle you just plug in and it fakes the hardware ID of the Kinect or something.
Exactly, yeah. So that's my thought. Someone's probably going
to
do that.
Sounds like a great idea to put on a radio show, guys. Let's tell them what we're going to do to get past this.
I'm guessing. I mean, I'm sure someone's going to do it, but not me. I'm too lazy to do that.
I feel like the current game distribution system on consoles is very outdated.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have to... Like, it boggles my mind as a PC gamer that you have to go into a store and buy a piece of plastic to play a game.
And that,
like,
and that plastic is surrounded by this superfluous cardboard container? Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, these days, I think 90% of the games for PC I buy on Steam because... Or on Good Old Games or whatever, because I'm like, I don't want to have any more of these boxes living in my house. Like, this is a game I'm never going to resell. You know, it's going to be easily bought online, so there's no point in collecting it. Kind of like, you know. I think this upcoming generation of consoles was going to be, and hopefully still is, like, the branch between that. It was like, you know, the Xbox One is you're going to have this game bound to your account. But, you know, so it's digital in effect there. The license of the game is digital. So I think, like, this next generation was supposed to be, like, that bridge, but...
You know what would be really cool for Steam to do? If you could... Because they have the capability of doing this, they just haven't implemented anything like this. If you could gift games or sell games, creating a secondary market for games that you have in your account, and instead of... You know, like, you can gift games that you have extra, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it removes it from your account. Why can't you just say, okay, I want to, you know, gift this game to someone that maybe I've played or maybe I haven't, doesn't matter, it's in my account. It removes it from my account, puts it on their account. Boom. Because they have DRM there.
And that kind of already exists, like, in a way. So you can gift games. That works.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. There's a Steam Marketplace where you can sell in-game items like your Team Fortress 2 hats, your Dota 2 items. That exists. And of course, there's since you can trade stuff, obviously there's sites that have sprung up where it's like Steam Marketplace and stuff like that, you know, where you can say, I have this game, I'm looking for these games or this amount of money. And
But the problem right now is you can't gift games that are... I guess, like, tied to your account or installed or whatever that...
Games that you might have already played, basically.
Yeah, which I think they should remove that. Let you gift or sell any game in your account. It'll just remove it from your account, like a physical product. I think they're working on something like this. There's been hints...
Something tells me it might already exist, but yeah, that I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, because that basically... allows the right of first sale. It allows online distribution like we all like, and it keeps everything, you know, it makes everyone happier. And Steam can take a cut of them, too.
Yeah.
It's like, 10% of used game sales go into Steam. Okay, that's cool.
I mean, it would be especially useful for games that have a high replay value. Games that are like open world and things like that, like your Grand Theft Autos, your Saints Row, your online games that, you know, are... You know, you pay once and you can play forever, that sort of deal. You know, games that have a high replay value would be especially useful. Like the one-shot games that you go through, like your Mass Effects and things like that, maybe not so much, but, you know, I can understand why they would want to limit those, for example.
Yeah, and that same model of online distribution with the right of first sale could work for consoles. I mean...
No reason why they couldn't.
One interesting thing I found, so I enforce at PAX, and I enforce pretty much always in console free play, and none of our consoles are connected to the internet, because that is a huge pain in the ass.
Oh god, that's going to be terrible for conventions and stuff.
Think about the Xbox One, that's going to be hard.
Because, like, what we do now is we have a library of games, and you take out a game, and you play it in whatever Xbox or PS3 or Wii that you want, and then you return the game, and anyone can use, you know, any game, right? If they did something like digital distribution, that would be very, very difficult to implement convention-wise. Yes.
Right. Unless it was, like, for example, a mode that exists for Steam, where if you have, like, a, you know, computer cafe or whatever, you can say, oh, hey, I'm a computer cafe. Unlock all these games for me to be able to allow on the thing so people can just log in and play, you know, whatever. Where the games are preloaded.
It's like an exception, I guess. Like an exception kind of.
I believe what PC Free Play does right now, and I could be completely wrong, is that they have separate Steam accounts for each PC.
Irony, of course, is that me and Nelson are both enforcers. I usually do PC, this console. But yeah, when we do PC Free Play at PAX, every machine has its own like Steam account or whatever, and so it's completely separate. It's as if, you know, they're all by themselves, theoretically.
Mm.
Do you get deals from game companies to not pay full retail price on every single copy of the game or something? I feel like that may happen in certain circumstances. Or at least, like, if a game company is at PAX and they're like, here, we've got a bunch of keys for our game, let's install them on all of the PC preplays. And, like, to keep costs down. Because, yeah, something like that, something like our Steam,
I guess I could
edition.
See, sorry, maybe it's not the exact same thing, but I could see, like, it, as things progress to be more digital, it could be like, hey, buy a digital game for $5 less. Like, I'd be totally on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because well, then... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, because then what you're doing there is basically you're cutting the cost of actually creating the product because you have a digital copy.
Yep.
But going back on like the resales and things like that of a digital copy, I don't think that's ever going to happen because of modifications and things that the user can do once they get it.
Okay.
Yeah, but a user can... in the future... Man, I can't wait
until... We're going to have hoverboards and flying cars and...
It's going to be interesting.
We'll have reverb every day.
It's going to be interesting.
Well, you know, once I get my Ghost in the Shell body, I can just, you know, flip a little reverb switch in my head and then reverb.
Or from Saints Row, you could have the auto-tuned voice box.
Isn't that going into your next topic? Smart houses?
No, not really.
Yeah, sorry. There's some other, I did actually go to E3. It was pretty cool. And I did
wow,
try
you're
both
so enthusiastic
consoles.
About it.
Well, it's after a while, you're just tired. Like, I saw all these really cool things. I kind of want to just sit down and eat lunch, you know?
So much to take in, like, right?
The LA Convention Center is not the funnest place.
No, I mean, it was really cool stuff. Like, just it was so much cool stuff. I'm just like, okay, now what do I do now? I have to wait, like, 6 months to do anything with any of these.
Right.
Yeah.
So I will say I played the Xbox One. I played the PS4. They're both fun. I mean, cool things that I saw that maybe people didn't really pick up on was the Xbox One, for example, had a really, really tight integration with the Surface. That was kind of cool.
Mm.
So I tried out Project Spark, which is that game creation kind of thing. And like, so we're using a controller. We're like, you know, making like a square. In the world and stuff like that, and then I could pick up the Surface next to me and literally pick right up where I could see on the screen and just like use my hand to my finger to draw out rivers or whatever, which was pretty cool because some things are easier to do with touch, some things are easier to do with the controller.
Hmm.
So I thought that was kind of
cool.
So you're
telling me they did actually learn something from the disaster that was SongSmith?
Yes. Yeah, so they've learned. They've actually done some really cool stuff, but it's weird. They haven't really mentioned it too much. Like, they've been like, hey, you're stuck with your tablet. And it's like, okay, now, next thing. It's like, you didn't really...
Hold on, elaborate on that. Like, what do you... Give me some detail on this new technology.
It does things with things. So the idea is, like, you have your console, and that's awesome. It's really powerful. It does have a TV. And then, it basically, for some games, I'm guessing only a few of them, they'll also play on your Surface at the same time, so you can literally see the same exact screen on your TV and your Surface, and then you can pick this up, start doing stuff, and then put it down and continue with the game controller.
Wait, you mean wasn't there another console that said they were going to do something like that? Just what was it called? Oh yeah, the Wii U.
That's the PlayStation. Oh yeah.
Oh,
I think the PS4 might have something as well, because I saw in like the Division, their trailer, had a little guy in a helicopter fly in and said Chris like on a tablet. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
The Division looks really good. I am a fan of DayZ, or sure, but DayZ, if you will. It looks like a really, really fun game. I like MMOs in theory. I do not like grind.
In practice, okay. So in theory, they're all in okay, makes sense.
I posted on the forum that I did not actually finish Mass Effect 2 because it had too much grind for me.
I could see that.
Really?
Even though I really like the story.
I like the game so much. I remember falling asleep at like 3 in the morning scanning planets.
Yeah, the scanning planets thing, at first for like 20 minutes, I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then it just grind. And I was like, nope, there's some grind canceling immediately.
Like, how did I exhaust all of the iridium on an entire planet?
Oh, you can't do that.
Probes.
Probes.
An MMO without grind would be fantastic.
Guild Wars 2 did a good job, at least for most part.
It was okay,
It got a little grindy.
It was fun in the beginning.
Yeah.
It got a little grindy, and there wasn't a lot of variety of stuff. Like, I would play it, actually, like,
Not another quest where I go and kill a guy and come back to town and turn in an item.
Yeah, and the gamey, like, the gamification things, like, oh, you need to get your daily.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to do that.
I don't care anymore.
And, like, I want this super awesome badass sword, but it would take me 1,000 hours to actually get it, so.
So if you
actually Star Trek Online's pretty good with the grinding.
Really, I haven't played much of STO.
Yeah, because basically everything's not everything, but missions and things like that will scale to your character level.
Oh, okay, so you can kind of do whatever.
You're not fighting the Romulans on your first command.
No, you're fighting the Borg. But anyway. When you take a mission, say if you're at level 1, there's a certain difficulty. If you fly in at level 50, which is the maximum level, all of the enemies are
50,
an equal level to you, so they still present some challenge. You don't just stomp right over them. And conversely, they don't stomp right over you. It's pretty enjoyable. I mean, once you get to level 50 at the end, it can start to get a little grindy, because if you've finished all the story missions, unless you're into, like, PvP or PvE, there's fuck all else to do.
Cool.
But they do release new seasons of content every 6 months or so, so it's a good game to duck out of and then just kind of crawl back into, finish the new season.
Chirba, I know you have crazy Australian weather, but a season is 3 months. Because there are 4 of them in a year. Not
at least here.
No, I meant like TV season.
How long is a TV season?
A TV season is about 3 months.
It's about the same as a season.
Well, there's fall and spring, which are 3 months. And then there's summer, which there's fall and winter / spring, which are both 3 months. And then there's like the big ass summer, which is just a wash in terms of ratings. It's just you can only compare summer, Sunday. Summer blockbuster.
Speaking of other things that begin with S, I heard Sony's doing something cool.
Excellent segue, Nelson. Yes,
shocking.
Yeah, Sony actually Sony and Disney are actually trying, and this actually, let me just preface this topic comes as a suggestion from Daiku from the Front Row Crew forums. If you are a Friday Night Party Line listener and want to talk to awesome people, the Front Row Crew forums is an excellent place to go.
Since we're all on there.
Yeah. This one comes, well, except Andrew. Andrew is not on the Front Row Crew forums. Next.
It's okay, I never go on anyway.
What the fuck are you doing? In the forum.
Not you.
So, in an attempt to curb piracy and probably privacy along with it, Sony and Disney
no,
are
tr- it's It's fucking the NSA's job to curb privacy.
The United States is doing that already. We're good.
Sony and Disney are actually trying a new approach to their film distribution by providing a legal streams of films still playing in theaters. For example, if you really want to see, What's going on right now? Monsters U. You want to see Monsters University? Well, you could pay not the $15 for an overpriced ticket and popcorn, and just stream it to your home, you know. And these two companies are actually adopting this alternative. This topic makes Daiku curious. If this proves successful, could this mean the death of theaters as we know it? I could see theater owners losing a lot of money and jobs if this becomes widespread. Also, would you personally adopt it? Even though it may be more expensive, would you miss watching theaters on a wall-sized screen in excellent surround sound?
Well, with the direction we're going in technology, anyone will have it in our house.
Yeah, I have three quick things to say on this. First thing, the DRM is probably terrible and probably a bad user experience.
Will it work on Linux?
Yeah, second thing, I am very much pro this because I can get my HD quality movies faster from legitimate sources. Third thing, I think that movie theaters as a whole are an outdated technology, and like other outdated technologies, will become a niche thing. Like, there are a lot of movie theaters in New York that are small, kind of like they play cult movies, or they have a really nice old-fashioned experience where you have your dinner and your drinks while you're watching a movie.
That sounds awesome.
Things like that, niche kind of cultural experiences.
So, I guess more so an experience rather than more so
a
good.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so things
so
like
you're
that
saying they're
going to
go the
continue.
Way of drive-in.
There are still drive-ins, but they are a niche cultural experience.
That's been a long time. Wow, hey, right.
Same as physical books, by the way.
Eventually.
I like my books. She's like, no. I like my theaters.
I know. So I think they'll always be around, but they'll probably be less. Just that's it.
That's only if it takes off, though.
I'd probably buy the service. I'd probably go opt into it because I usually don't have time to go to a theater, find parking, wait for the theater to start, turn off my phone. You know, there's a lot of, like, I don't have time for that. I could be working on, like, a project and watch the movie here, you know, at home and you know, feel like, okay, I didn't waste
I disapprove of that method of watching movies entirely.
Yeah. Watching a new movie like that is like not watching it at all. Yeah. That defeats the point of going and seeing a movie in the first place.
I have to crunch movies in sometimes. And of course, obviously, the other half of it is, you know, if you want to watch a movie with your friends, going to the theater is great and all, but you're like, be quiet, you can't say anything, you know, crunch your popcorn softly. Whereas, you know, sometimes with my friends, we want to, you know, hoot and holler at the movie a little bit. Like, oh, the guy just got killed or whatever, you know, or something like that. You know, you kind of want to yell at it a little bit.
Well, I think it'd be a good thing for the people who yell at screens, but I don't think the theater's, like, going to die. It's an outing.
Well, here's an idea. What happens to movie theaters when you can have a virtual experience of watching a movie theater or sitting in a movie theater watching a movie?
So if I buy an Oculus Rift and you have a
Xbox One, right? Xbox One has that feature where you can watch shows on ESPN with your friends at the same time, right? You get that combined with an Oculus Rift plus voiceover IP. You can all watch it together at the same time. You can look over at them and be like, yeah.
The future is so bright.
No, we're not going virtual.
We're watching fucking TV, bro.
You might as well say goodbye to humanity as you know it then if you're going to go all virtual.
See, WALL-E was a prediction of the future.
Oh, no. If it ends up being like WALL-E, that's it. I'm done.
Well, you'd be done well before that, wouldn't watching, you?
Oh, well before.
Mentioning watching movies on the Oculus Rift, they've actually got an interesting way they've found they have to do that. They do have a little simulation framing thing where it's a little movie theater and the movie is playing on the screen.
Yes.
And the reason they do this is because they found if they just pipe the movie directly onto the LCD, it's actually really hard to look at and makes you feel kind of sick because it's really close to your eyes and it's very hard to see the whole screen. So you're trying to look around. You're either trying to look around like crazy or you get a smaller picture close enough that it just fucking makes you sick as.
As someone who has attempted to watch 3D porn, I concur.
it sounds like to me like seeing in the front row of an IMAX or something like that, right? Like in the front row of like those really, really big screens.
Oh, IMAX, yeah. Anyone who wants to sit in the front row of an IMAX theater is a bellend.
Well, actually, but I will tell you what is the best thing.
Just going to end up with people thrown up everywhere. Okay.
Well, basically, IMAX have the big digital IMAX projectors. They also have digital advertisement projectors that they use before the movie starts while they're still preparing the actual film projector. Mm-hmm. Those digital projectors, like the digital ad projectors, you can hook a gaming console up to those.
Oh, they have standard
AV in.
Oh, shit.
There was a Reddit post where some guy like rented out a movie theater for like his kid's birthday, and they played like Halo.
That was his mom. He played Halo the entire day with her. But yeah, they rented out the entire theater. They had the hookups for it and everything, and that's where he spent his birthday.
Woo!
Yeah, like that. I was like, that is an awesome mom. Like,
playing Call of Duty on a giant wall.
Yeah. You have not played Smash Brothers until you've played Smash Brothers with a fucking 60-foot-tall Mario.
Let's say movie theaters like start to kind of humble down, and like, no, we're not making much money after this service came out. Like, but you can run out of theater for, you know, do that. Like, you know, it's like someone's birthday or having a Friday night guys night or whatever kind of thing. Like, rent on a movie theater. Like, yeah, duh, it'd be awesome. Yeah,
hey, so the benefits of movie theaters becoming less important in the viewing of new cinematic material.
Oh, you can, Nelson, you can put your HD porn up there and, you know.
Fucking secondary utility.
Actually, I wonder if there's any porno theaters that have, like, 3D.
You can't go in there without these. You know, you can just keep them when you're done.
Are you kidding me? I'd go in there with the 3D glasses and a poncho. Good God. Stay away.
This man knows his porn theaters.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to get anywhere near those without any sort of like full body protection.
Okay, new topic.
New topic.
All right. No more porn.
Okay, so we're done with that one.
We're diverting.
At
least in a porno theater, you know why the floor is sticky.
Oh, God.
So there's your dystopian future. Where were we going?
I'm moving this topic right now. All right.
Speaking of Disney movies, Smart House.
No, just.
Well, what is a Disney movie?
Okay, so if we were talking about the future of bringing media and entertainment into the home, and obviously that requires a significant amount of technological advancement when it comes to just, you know, because no one's going to want that without a little bit of extra DRM. So technology in the home is great, but what if we fast forward another 10 or 15 years? What if we look at technologies we have now, like the Nest and Wi-Fi controllable lamps and, you know, smoke detectors that text you if there's a fire or detects smoke or certain levels of air pollution in your home. Bump that forward another 15 years.
Instead of texting me, just puts out the fucking fire.
We fast forward to that. And, you know, we say, oh, wow, the home of the future. Well, smart homes, as they're called, isn't exactly a new idea. I mean, just ask Tex Avery about his home of tomorrow. But modern technology is starting to make smart homes more of a reasonable reality. We have robotic vacuum cleaners. We have the Internet Connect thermostat, like the Nest, like I told you about. What about homes would you like to smarten up next? So tell us about your ideal smart home experience. Amanda, why don't you start?
God, you already know where I stand with this.
But please, elucidate.
The IT crowd.
In the IT crowd, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm not you guys. I'm the complete opposite of all of you. I don't think we need smart homes. So there you go.
Us chop our own wood, like...
Yeah. Chop our own wood. Yeah, sure, why not?
Churn our own butter.
You won't turn into Wally.
I read a really great article yesterday about design and about like the way the movements in UI design in the last 5 years or so. And there was a great point where he was talking about like a lot of people say, oh, design needs to be invisible, but that doesn't really capture what good design should be. And he said, good design should understand the user intention. And the example used was in a car, your flip down sun protecting system.
Very, driven very
the visor.
It's the visor.
Yeah,
yes.
Your visor. A lot of them have a mirror with the flip up thing, right? Mm. And when you flip up that mirror, the light comes on automatically. Because it understands, you know, the designer of that thing understood your intention is to look at yourself in the mirror, and so the light comes on.
Never had a crap car, have you, Nelson?
Yeah. Mine's broken.
Have,
no longer works.
I've actually never used that mirror.
But
the idea is, like, what if you had something like the lights come on when you enter a room? Like, that's a very simple intentional design kind of thing. But I think a lot of that could be applied to smart houses and other intelligent domiciles.
But how's that going to help if you're blind?
The sound gets... The echolocation implant in your cybernetic body gets better. We're on the cusp of having actual echolocation. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But I think there's a lot of things that technology can make better, including stuff in the house. I think it's just, I mean,
it's unnecessary.
It's a matter of, yeah, a lot of things are not super necessary.
A lot of things aren't super. Well, I mean, it's like, okay, so now you're saying we don't have to turn on our own lights, so we won't have to walk anymore, because we're going to set it up so that you know, we'll take you up the stairs. You don't even have to move now.
Well, I'm sorry, do you just, when you're sitting in a room, do you go and get up and shut the light and turn it off just while you're still in the room? No, you walk into the room,
sure.
You turn on the lights, and you leave it on until you are ready to leave the room. Else, sleep.
Else, okay, what so what about
daytime?
People are afraid of the dark then there, Mr. Victor?
Then congratulations,
and
they can leave it on.
Congratulations. Well, if they go to sleep and the light turns off on them.
There you go.
Well, they're asleep. What do they care?
Oh, they care, trust me.
You know what I really want that is sort of related to smart houses, including the 1999 Disney film entitled Smart House?
Excellent movie.
basically, AI companions.
Oh, that'd be
you mean Jarvis?
Pretty much.
Do you mean like the like Jarvis AI companion or like AI companion as in like Chobits or something?
Oh, sure.
No, I mean,
oh god, Chobits are completely a different ball of yarn.
Yeah.
Like, imagine Siri
AI
or, you know, Google's unnamed voice command system.
It's Google Now, right? I mean, that's.
I guess it is. Yeah. Imagine
it's
Google
Chinese,
Now.
Google
it's
Now.
Better. but anywhere where you are, you know, like
I would,
just,
I would like that. I would like
yeah.
that. You wake up in the morning, and it's like, hey, your socks are up today. It's going to be 70 degrees outside. Don't worry about your jacket.
And it sounds like
yeah,
Stephen Fry.
Imagine a
That'd be great. You could use different voices, make a Darth Vader. You know.
Imagine a smart kitchen with voice commands. So you're in the kitchen. It'll tell you you've got smart pots that will tell you the actual temperature of the food you're cooking. You've got voice commands to set timers to... You know, alert you that oh hey your oven is, you know, up to temperature.
Jarvis, I feel like making a stir fry tonight. Do we have the right kind of ingredients for a stir fry?
That is a good use case for these.
Why don't you
idea.
Just go look to see if you have the right ingredients for it?
Well, you could be getting out the pots and pans and stuff while you're thinking about it.
Well, no, but see,
can you even cook a stir fry?
Yeah, of course I can cook a stir fry. Man, I can cook a decent stir fry.
Stir fry's pretty
you
easy.
You can cook a decent stir fry, but I cook a great one.
Yeah, I would like some automation at least.
I
want stir fry now. But I was saying that. So for automation, I would like some. Like, there's apps already out for your phone right now. Where you're like, turn on the lights, or set the AC to 70. Because I want it to be nice and warm when I get home or whatever, right? Those exist. I think that's a great way of doing it. Ideally, I'd love to have like Nelson mentioned, the AI kind of thing that would, you know, tell you today's news or headlines or whatever. That'd be awesome. So, the part where I don't like it is like I would like to cook my own food. I would like to, you know, walk. I would actually like to walk around my house. I don't need anything to carry me up the stairs unless I like injure myself.
That's where it's gonna go, though.
You don't need the moving sidewalks, right? Moving you from room to room.
Exactly. I think we live like 600,000 feet in the air above the Flintstones and everything, you know. So I think those are unnecessary. Possible? Yes. I think they'll be completely possible. And there's going to be some people who probably legitimately need them. Like, you know, when you get the elderly or people who have injured them.
I saw a video of an industrial robot, like one of those big arm robots, shaving the shaving cream off of a balloon.
Ooh. Okay. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Now, would I want a shaving robot?
No. No.
If the shaving robot was as good as a barber, that is a better shave than I can do at home. Because I do like a full wet shave, right? And yeah, it's a very nice, calming experience. But
until you nick yourself, like, fuck.
Yeah.
I really don't want robots, like, you know, interacting with my body.
So you don't want the Jetsons?
No, I don't. Right.
I can understand, like, if they're working correctly and they might do like an awesome haircut and awesome shave, like that's cool.
It's when they're not working correctly.
I would get a haircut robot.
Reliability, guys.
It's like, oh no, we put the wrong firmware update out. We reversed the left and right direction, so now like, it's like cut your ear off by accident. Like,
oh. instead of you know, shaving your beard, it actually just slices straight through your jaw. So
yeah, so I could see robots like maybe assisting, but not like doing the whole thing.
Yeah, but with the glitches and everything that you would get with the robots, you're better off just hiring a person to do the job in the first place.
But isn't a Roomba the cutest little robot ever?
Who cares if it's cute? Once it glitches on your floor, it makes a bigger mess anyway. Look. You're cleaning it.
I'm sorry. Well, the Roomba, I'm okay with it.
Look, vacuum for
shit. Here's an idea. So,
it's a vacuum robot that doesn't fucking vacuum.
Andrew, you mentioned you like cooking your own
So basically, it's a dog.
I think we just summed
it up. It eats everything it can possibly find on the floor, and then when it glitches out, it all just goes back on the floor.
And it eats it again, right?
It eats it again.
I miss having a dog when I'm cooking, because if I drop like a bit of food on the floor, if
the
I
dog
have
takes
a dog,
care of
the
it.
Dog just comes in. Yeah, I would like a robot to do that.
Yeah, I think the Roomba I'm okay with, because you know it vacuums your floor. Like if it was wrong, the worst case is you end up with a bunch of like crap on the floor. You're like, that was dumb. Fine, but
yeah, but now take that same concept and put it to the robot that's shaving your face. And wait till it
comes. Yeah, like, the worst case of my face is I get killed, you know? The worst case with the vacuum. The worst case of the vacuum, it's a bunch of crap on my floor. Like, I think, you know, I go and brush it up. Like, you know, whatever.
I would be fine with the face shaving robot if we also had mind uploading and backups.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be okay. Yeah.
But then again, if you had mind uploading and backups, you'd have robot bodies, and at which point, why would you need to shave?
Anyway.
Yeah, this is true. I can't wait until the culture happens.
I would think that the real worst case scenario with the Roomba is still that you get killed. It just takes a lot further to get to that point.
Like, first, it slowly eats away at your shoes.
Roomba with a fucking bloody knife taped to it. It like cruises around with its little knife, cuts your Achilles.
Dude, this is why I'm glad the Roomba wasn't made as one of those Acme robots that
if it was
like,
made as an Acme robot, it'd explode.
Well, yeah, well, no, it would putt around the floor, and then when it sees the dirt, so a little arm comes out with a little sweeper.
Oh,
I think that 3D printed food and backbone meat should be available to everyone.
I think that might be a future as well. Because I know, like, vegetarian, for example, you talk to them and I go, is it about the treatment of animals, or is it you just don't want to eat meat? Because there will be a future very soon, actually, scary enough, where we're really like, print me a steak. All right, here's your sirloin, done.
Why can't, meat faucets?
What?
Meat faucet, you know, hot water, cold water, meat.
That's never going to work. You're not going to have a meat faucet. That's not going to work.
5 years.
No.
5 years. No, that takes... You get a printer, no, though. Biologically, that takes way too much energy for you to actually process into a pipe. It's not going to work.
Not to mention the pumps would have to be amazing.
Yeah, meat faucet will not work.
The meat faucet will not work. Sorry, guys.
So there was an AMA...
Well, it doesn't have to be a meat faucet. It can be like the ice dispensers in the fridge.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, then don't expect it warm.
Instead of Boolean cubes, it'd be meat cubes. Boop, 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 boop. Chunk meat.
Sorry, Nelson. The CEO of what?
Victor.
Yeah, the CEO of one of these Vat Meat companies. And I'm going to call it Vat Meat because I think that's an awesome term. It's not the one they use. They're like, you know, genetically grown, whatever. Vat Meat companies said, in his estimates, it would be about 5 years until his product is ready for market. Like, cheap enough that it's consumer level, and quality enough that it tastes neat. 5 years. That's...
I don't trust that at all.
It's possible. I mean, they can print meat right now, it just isn't marbleized, you know, dealing with the fats and, like, you know, all of the stuff that makes meat taste good, like, to make it not just taste like protein.
That's not the issue.
What's...
The part I don't trust is I never trust anyone who says, oh yes, our research and development will be perfectly ready in about the length of 1 5-year funding.
Once you get to a prototype, then we can do our estimates. Oh, okay, never mind.
Well, once you've... Yeah, once you're printing out a steak in front of me and you can show me that you can scale this up, then maybe.
Yeah, they're working on scaling and taste right now, but they can print, you know, protein.
Ah, okay.
It just doesn't taste that great.
Yeah.
It's just like
that might take
protein.
So
it's just like the pure muscle without...
So we actually can make food so far. It tastes good now.
Yeah.
Well, growing it ain't that hard to do.
So I guess the
make
final,
it cheaper, because right now
I guess
it's very expensive.
The final crux of this is that because we already have this available right now, do you think there'll be a 3D printer in every home?
No.
Eventually.
Well, I've got one in my home right now.
Really?
Yeah?
Yes, actually.
Nice. Wow.
I can go and grab it and like just switch.
Could
one second,
you?
Because cool. Someone... Yeah. I'll explain it in a minute.
Yeah, go grab it, Trevor.
Okay. So while he's grabbing that, I know I went to the Maker Faire here in the Bay Area a little while ago, and they had them demoing there, and you could make like action figures and all sorts of awesome things. They're just really expensive right now. They're like, you know, $2,000.
I mean, there are a lot
cheaper eventually...
than they were.
Okay, guys, I'm sorry to say this, but it looks like Amanda has to leave us. Amanda, thank you. Amanda, thank you so much for letting me Shanghai you onto the show.
It's nice meeting you.
That's racist.
That's racist. Then we've been racist all day.
Fine, lassoing you onto the show. Ooh. How about that?
That's racist.
Rush.
How is that racist?
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that is beautiful. It wouldn't be a Friday Night Party line without a visual gag, but the image that our wonderful podcast listeners are seeing is of a yellow and gray 3D printer.
Yes.
Oh wait, is that what? Hold on. Let me put that on.
Oh, it's a MakerBot.
I actually had an interview with
him. Hey, look at that. There it is.
Am I?
All right, I'm disappearing, guys.
Okay. Adios,
right.
Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Amanda. I'm going to put this down because it's fucking heavy.
Yeah, that's cool. Have you made anything cool with that?
No, because it doesn't actually work at this point.
Oh, no.
Bummer.
No, maybe the story behind that is that... Well, I do a little bit of work with a company called Partech, and they're a plastics training organization. They teach people to work with plastics. They do a little plastic work themselves, and I was in there one day with a colleague of mine. We're just hanging out, you know, chatting to people. He's getting some little UVA spacers made to put his TV up on a bracket. And they're milling those, and this bloke's walked through with an Arduino in a little 3D printed enclosure. I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, you know, what kind of board you got there? And he's told me, and I've gone, oh, yeah, pretty nice 3D printed enclosure you got there too. Yeah, good work, man. And I was about to walk off, and this guy's just turning to me and going, oh, I think you're the guy I need. I'm like, all right, what else? And he's just going, yeah, follow me. So led me through seeing this 3D printer. Just sitting there on the bench, half assembled. He's like, "Oh, can you? Do you know anything about wiring these up?" I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I can have a look. So I've, you know, spent about 10 minutes going over diagrams, giving him some instructions. And, you know, that's sorted out. And in the end, he's just turned around a couple of days later and just going, yeah, look, I've done all I can with this. Do you want to just take this home and sort it out and then just bring it back when it's done?
That's so cool.
Nice.
Nice.
I'm just like, are you high? Have you been fucking... Have you been doing a John McAfee and smoking a shitload of bath salts? If not, even still, your vetting process leaves a lot to be desired. This is like... This is about $1,200 worth of equipment right here. This dude doesn't know me from Larry. He's just like, yeah. Yeah, bro, you're right.
I'll get... a 3D printer, well, A, when I can afford one, pretty much, but I would really, I'm really looking forward to when they can do, I know this is still kind of a pipe dream, but, like, molecular level.
Yeah, I think it's once, once they're more affordable for myself, and then once I find something that I need to use it to make, otherwise I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
I will get one. When I get a job that pays me enough money that I have, like, $1,000 or $2,000 sitting around, I will get a 3D printer and I will print my own game pieces.
That'd be cool.
Well, that would be super cool.
When you do, tell me. Because, you know, remember that plastics training company? What does a 3D printer run on? Plastic filament?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And... that's kind of one of the things I've already done. I was just like, you know, hey guys, can you chuck us a bit of filament for calibration? Oh, I don't really have any lying around at the moment. Yeah, that's fair enough. You're just going to extrude some more? What do you mean? Dudes, you have a giant fucking plastic extruder over there and a cable roller. You can just extrude this filament, like, as much as you like, forever. Oh yeah, I guess we can. We can just make some dies up for that and have it going by the end of the day. Yeah. You thought about selling it? Oh, maybe. So yeah, if you get a 3D printer, talk to me. I can hook you up with some decently priced filament.
Nice.
Nice. Wow. You know what's the cool thing is that you've with the there is actually on the what is it, Thingiverse, there is actually you can print a filament extruder. So you can recycle your old filament.
Don't think it's going to work out quite the same.
No, I don't think it will work out quite as well as a metal extruder, but, you know. Yeah.
Or an industrial scale one. You could run off, like, kilometers and kilometers of filament in a weekend with this thing. It is fucking serious.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess, Nelson, I think our plan is get 3D printers, we'll put out some D&D minis and some dice.
I could 3D print dice.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
There you go.
You could 3D print. You could 3D print. You could 3D print terrain and stuff for like BattleTech. 3D print the terrain and everything. Ooh. Just like
man, now I want a 3D printer.
All right, guys. Well, it has been a fantastic episode. Thank you guys all for coming on the show and. Anything always to plug happens, this time around, guys? Andrew, is that a new title I see under your name? CTO of something, something?
Project? Yes.
What do you got there?
Yeah, it's honored. It's something we haven't announced yet exactly what we're doing, but if you go to gethonored.com, you can sign up and we'll have probably alpha here sometime soon, beta and whatnot, so you get some more information.
Will you, in fact, honor us at Get Honored?
Hey, I should use that line. So good, I might steal that.
Joke for it. I don't mind.
Awesome.
I like your sign-up form.
Yeah, we get our designer's phenomenal. It's
fair enough. Hmm. Nelson, anything to plug, brother?
What you got?
I think I'm just going to go fall back on my fallback that I've said before, but the 1999 film Smart House is actually kind of hilarious.
I don't forget to watch that now because I
is it
not,
on Netflix?
I've never heard of that.
I don't know. It might be on Netflix.
Well, I'll check it out. Yeah, that's a good movie, and it stars God. I can't remember. I can never remember her name. She played the wife on Married with Children. She plays Leela on Futurama.
Oh, by the way, you know who directed Smart House?
Who directed Smart
LeVar
House?
Burton.
LeVar Burton.
LeVar yeah. Burton. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just saying.
It's got a 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
It's
not the best movie, but it's an okay
movie. It is
movie.
A hilarious movie.
Okay, right. All right. That's good enough for me. I'll give it a watch, I think.
It explains. Yeah. It also showcases a problem you get when you are feeding an AI weird information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Malfunctioning sex robot?
No. Cherva, how about you? You got anything?
Well, this is the last FMPL before PAX Australia. So, if you're coming to PAX Australia,
I wish.
Fucking come and see me, dude.
Look out for him. You won't be able to miss him.
Around somewhere.
I guess Ron Forster's now a victor. You gotta...
Yeah, as soon as I can afford to go to PAX.
Well, actually,
he's got talks for AX, so he's good.
Actually, yeah. Technically, I'm not really that much of an enforcer for like another three or four weeks.
You're a proto enforcer.
Yeah.
You're an acolyte.
I'm a nascent enforcer.
Oh, you know what I'm going to plug?
What are you going to plug?
But yes, come on. Come see me.
This is
grab a beer.
Sort of relevant to you, Victor. A friend of a friend named Stella Chu is a kind of cosplay professional burlesque person. Mm-hmm. And she is doing a thing called Myth : Legends of Burlesque on Saturday, July 6th at 9 p.m. At Anime Expo.
Oh, really?
I guess I'll have to go.
Well, do try to connect us on Facebook or something. I want to get in touch with you.
Yeah, that way I can at least remind myself as well. Like, all right, what time is this thing?
Yeah. Speaking of Anime Expo, if you are of the anime fandom persuasion and you are going to Anime Expo this coming 4th of July week, that is July 4th through 7th, do come to some of my panels. I have three of them going on. First one is on Friday morning. It's called How to Survive Your First Convention. It's where I will be giving some tips and tricks, not only accrued through all the conventions I've been to, but from advice that I've got garnered from friends such as Nelson, Cherba, and Andrew over here. After that, How to Survive Your Convention is Thursday morning. Friday night is my lecture. It's actually a workshop. So you want to make an audio drama where I walk you through step by step how to make an audio drama from scratch. We're going to be getting it done in an hour, so cross your fingers. It's going to take a miracle if it comes off, if it goes off without a hitch. And then finally, Sunday morning is probably for the last time I'll be doing it in the LA convention circuit. It's going to be My Little Pony Sound is Magic, where I go into the sound design and sound history of not just My Little Pony, but Western animation in general. So we'll be talking about the history of sound in film, as well as the history of sound in animation. We get into topics like diegesis and fidelity. This is my bread and butter, so you won't want to miss it. This is the fifth time I've done this lecture in the span of a year, and I've got it down pat, and it's probably the last time I'm going to be doing it at Anime Expo. So if you're interested in that, you do not want to miss it. So that's it. It's been a great episode of Friday Night Party Line. Thank you all for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You guys are, as usual, fantastic panelists. So thanks for coming on.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
All right. And Andrew, I will be seeing you. Anime Expo.
Yeah. We're driving down Thursday, I think.
Woo! Nice.
Find a bun. I think our goal is get there Thursday before food trucks. And I was like, all right, we'll try that.
Yeah, that's really exciting there, Kevin.
Since we're off air now, I'll tell you what honor.
Well, hold on a second then. Let me off air us. All right. Well, if you guys who are
ladies
listening want
gentlemen.
To find out what Get Honored is, you'll just have to sign up and wait for them to email you. So with that, this is now the end of the broadcast day. Good night, everybody.
Okay, how's this? A German walks into a bar and he says to the bartender, "Ah, I'll have a martini." And the bartender says, "Ah, dry?" The German says, "Nah, just one."
I saw that. I've got one.
What you got?
Two women walk into a bar and talk about the Bechdel test.
Oh, I got
Tumblr
one.
Is
I got
still
ready?
Very angry
ready?
About this.
A biologist, a chemist, and a statistician go hunting in the woods.
This is a good one, actually.
Biologist takes a shot at a deer. It's 5 meters to the right. Chemist goes and takes a shot at a deer. 5 meters to the left. Statistician says, "We got him!"
A Roman walks into the bar and he says to the bartender in Latin, "Ah, I'll have a martinis." And the bartender says, "Don't you mean a martini?" And the Roman says, "No, if I wanted two, I'd have asked for two."